Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to go to rugby heaven? Let's go back to 1987 with Squid, with Squid. Let's go back to 87 with Squid.
Hello, good afternoon, Merry Christmas, and welcome to the Squid Rugby World Cup Retrospective Christmas Podcast episode, the rugby podcast that has just had the test result back and doesn't have cancer. I meant coronavirus,
but my Jesus Christ!
But my brain went, I've delivered that accidentally, subconsciously, in the way the woman in the room does when she says, I definitely have breast cancer. And so my brain accidentally filled in.
Oh, hold on a minute, these aren't your results.
My brain filled in, I don't have cancer, which is also true, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, you have neither. I kind of feel like you should check now, just... we didn't think about that beforehand, and I'd just rather have confirmation now as your relative.
Never mind. This is the end of the podcast. I'm going to pop off to the hospital and hope the best.
It's fine, I'll look after these two, it's fine.
No, I thought this whole day I was going to have a COVID test hanging over this podcast and I might discover whilst on air whether or not I have the coronavirus, but I got a negative test back quite recently. Oh. So I don't, but instead we have some guests who are not the coronavirus here to talk about the Christmassiest of rugby moments. We have returning after last year's glorious, glorious Christmas episode, the one and only Wales Online's own, Mr. Ben James. How are we doing?
Hello, I'm very well. I'm still reeling at the whole cancer thing, to be honest. But I think we've recovered well. I think we're back on track with the podcast. So I think it's all primed and ready to go, ready to mine non-cancer related comedy. Yep. Which some would say is the best kind of comedy. I'm on the fence. But yeah, I think that's all I have to say for now, isn't it?
No, thank you. Yeah.
For the whole pod, that is. You don't have to say anything else now.
Well, fellas, I'm going to go.
And we're also joined by, from Rock and Roll, Mr. Grafstev. How are you doing? How are we doing? How are we?
I'm good, and as far as I know, free of any ailments that may have been inflicted upon. It's these slick introductions that's got you the notoriety amongst the rugby community that you deserve.
It really is. It's that and sheer pity for the fact I've been telling people I'm a cancer survivor for years. And I've finally broken the immersion.
I will make the point that Grav is making his debut on this podcast at Christmas. And the very first thing you mentioned is the fact that you don't have cancer. And Grav, the good thing is that you're one of two people in the whole world who you've listened to our podcast before, haven't you?
I am the other one, yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So you know that the bar is sometimes a little bit higher than that.
That's hoping for I mean, almost every episode, one of you will find a way to get the name wrong. So I was impressed that you at least got that far. It fell off the edge after that. But we're okay. We're fine. We're carrying
speed
on.
Recovery.
You could see the sheer amount of effort it took out of me. I am now knackered for the next hour and nothing productive is coming out of my mouth. Yeah, as Will just said.
I don't listen to the podcast, actually. Yeah. For the record, you guys, you're the Australian guy who talks about murders, aren't you?
Case files. Have you?
It.
No. I don't. It's a podcast. I've never actually listened back to our own podcast, but I believe it's about Kellogg's because it's
cereal.
Don't make me thank you. Let's go away.
I'll pull that Christmas cracker
let's
for
go
you.
Home. Let's go back to.
Is the Ben James laugh track too much of a callback?
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because we might need it a few times today.
The good thing is it will sound different because I've so clearly lost my voice. so at least now, like a laugh track, it sounds like it wasn't just me laughing after everything I said.
You sound tuneful, Ben.
It would. Yeah. Christ, my voice is...
Really going. Ben, I was so recently I listened back to our previous Christmassy episode just to regain some context. I have a question for you, Ben, to open things on. Oh, were God. Keen top of your Spotify rap this year?
No, I don't think Keen featured.
No, they're not.
The song Meat Pie Sausage Roll, Come on England, Give Us a Goal, was about 93. Which just tells you. I think Grandstand was in there somewhere, the Grandstand theme. Yeah.
You really are a sports writer, aren't you?
Match of the Day theme tune, top three.
I think Keen is still the worst part of that whole playlist.
Oh, come on. I think I regaled the story last year about how Keen are effectively Michael Jackson without drugs. Was that the... I think I did this. My university lecturer once claimed that basically Keen were what musicians are when you don't do drugs. So I don't want to get into that, but yeah.
Well, I've never heard a better advert for doing drugs than that.
Well, the worst thing was, and I think I mentioned it on last year's pod, was the example they used for good music on drugs was Alien Ant Farm's version of Thriller, which is like...
I mean, surely almost every musician ever, like the Stones, Johnny Cash, the Beatles did quite a lot of drugs.
No.
They're notoriously better than Keen, I would say.
I can't remember
his surname, but Tom from Keen is...
Tom Chaplin from Keen.
I'll take your word for it. he's a stand-up guy. He once did a song with Kane on. Remember him?
No. Oh.
No.
World, 2010 World Cup, waving flag.
Oh, really? Was he involved in that?
No, not the World Cup. He did a shit song like a year later. Keane wrote Waving Flag. They've done a lot of South African themed songs. Free Nelson Mandela was one of theirs. I think Shosha Loza was an early B-side.
I think they wrote all of the stuff for Rodriguez. That was all of that.
Oh, right.
Basically.
I've also seen Searching for Sugar Man. I'll give you that. Yeah, okay. Razzie is a massive, massive fan. And I hear that's where he is right now, having a wonderful Christmas. Ben, you're also wearing a Springbok shirt right now.
Yes. I was in South Africa this year, and genuinely, I don't remember a thing.
I think that's for the best.
You were there for the Lions tour, though, weren't you?
Partly, yes.
Okay.
Partly.
Hold on.
Yeah.
are you one of the dozens that Razzie's kidnapped?
I can neither confirm or deny.
What are these allegations against... As Razzie, I'm just, you know...
Look, we just saw that he's willing to break literally any boundary just to show that world rugby stacked against him. And, if there's a reason that he had to kidnap the wonderful writer Ben James, then I'm sure that he was
trying to make me write for Rugby Onslaught, which I thought was a step too far, because they both share the same yellow circles.
Yeah.
I can't confirm that Ben has been kidnapped by Razzie, but he did down a pint of Guinness in a hot tub before we came in. So it could just be coincidence.
I call that the Phil Steele diet.
Oranges, but only at half time.
17 articles on Wales Online tomorrow analysing Razzie's dog.
Oh, my God.
Looking at, you know...
I mean, it could happen.
My favourite comment on the Razzie dog thing was... Someone, you know, there was one comment from someone saying, oh, they should be picked for the Springboks because, you know, they're a good jump being done by Razzie's dog who can jump. But there was a reply saying, no, he'd have to play for England because the jump wasn't that good. And so he could therefore make the England team, but not the Springbok team.
The thing is, right, because Razzie made that joke where he said, oh, yeah, you're trying to bite me. This means you should play for England. It's like, oh, yeah, good bounce there, Razzie. Mm. But for the Springbok fans to be that insecure that they're fighting over how good a dog can jump, of how on how qualified they are.
No, that doesn't sound like Springbok Twitter.
I know for people who identify as Welsh, saying anything about Twitter is an open goal for literally everyone listening.
Sure, of course.
Welsh rugby Twitter's just
That's the amazing thing about, you know, like most rugby Twitters want to fight each other. Whereas Rose Rugby Twitter is just too interested in fighting. Yes. They don't actually care about being aggressive towards anyone else. They're only angry with Pontypool.
I don't know. They do hate the Irish.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, Squidge, especially you.
I just play up to that now. I'm quite enjoying it.
That's Welsh mentality all over, though, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
If you've ever been to Cwm Cân or Abercorn, they hate each other. It's basically the same street.
Yeah.
If there wasn't a sign, you wouldn't know you were leaving one village and entering another one. It's not Welsh Twitter mentality. It's just Welsh mentality.
Yeah,
it's true.
We could get into this, but
I played a game for Cwm Cân, by the way.
Really?
On the wing.
Oh, really?
That was a bizarre day.
Tell us about it.
Oh, they turned up with like 11 players, so they wanted to borrow four. I tried my very best to start the scrum half, and then their coach wanted to cross, and he said, "How long have you been playing scrum half?" And I said, "About 45 seconds." And then it got pointed out that the boy who they had moved to fullback was actually a scrum half, so I started on the left wing instead.
But my
own player, not my own player, as in playing for the club that I should have been playing for, in the head, like within 30 seconds of kicking off. It was a good day, and that was the only touch of the ball I had.
that's where you need Eddie Jones as coach, because they play rugby without numbers, which is totally original. And England are the first team to do it, and they'll be the last team to do it. So
you know they invented four new positions this year.
Yeah, there's one called Centre X.
Ben Ryan invented that a few years ago.
He also
invented fullback X, wing X.
Here's an interesting thing so recently I've had a bit of a conundrum with the team I've been coaching because basically we've had a something forced upon us where we've had a couple of games where numbers have been quite short, and somebody, instead of like combining with a nearer team or something or borrowing players, whatever, you know, we've had somebody say to us, oh yeah, there's a lot of other forms of rugby you can try, you know, there's 10s, there's 12 aside, you could try rugby X. And I was like, no, we can't try rugby X. Firstly, we're not in the O2 arena. Secondly, Ben Ryan isn't here to oversee it and double check that what we're doing is definitely rugby X. Thirdly, that was a one-off event that happened once.
You should try it, see if Ben Ryan just appears.
I do want to see the one-on-one. I'm kind of tempted to give that a go. I like that part of rugby X.
Well, World Rugby have changed the laws now, whereby anything can be rugby. As long as you've got a rugby ball and some people, it's rugby. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can do what you like. You can completely make the rules up, which is how American football got invented, to be fair. But you can just do whatever you want and call it rugby, and World Rugby are fine with
it. So is this rugby, what we're doing now?
I genuinely do. Do you know what? This is a beautiful segue, because the ball I'm holding right now,
I know exactly where this is going.
A Guinness Pro 14 ball, right? And I procured this ball at a media event for the Guinness Pro 14 about 2 years ago. Yep.
You got a ball?
Yeah.
I didn't get anything.
So, yeah, I was, at the end of the day, they just had, like, three balls lying there that had been set up as, like, set dressing for a shot for something. And one of the guys from the Pro 14 just went, do you want a ball? And just gave it to me. So I walked out with a ball that me and Paul Williams, you know, now beloved author and Welsh rugby Twitter person who fights with no one, which is a real USP of his. We pass it around in the car park a bit, and then I went home with this ball, and I'm very sorry, Ben.
I didn't even get a pint of Guinness that day.
Oh, man.
Oh.
I had to go back to the office to do a football podcast, which then got cancelled. So,
Oh, no.
I was going to get my face printed on a pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
Stand next to Reese Patchell and drink a pint of Guinness with my face on it. And then that didn't happen, so.
I got the Squid Rugby logo printed on a pint of Guinness that day because I was just stood ambiently waiting for something or listening to something happening or whatever next to Ross Harris, the presenter from the telly.
Who deemed your face not good enough.
The man of TV.
I was just stood next to Ross Harris and I kind of went like, I'm going to say hello to Ross Harris. So I said hello to Ross Harris. And me and Ross Harris had a little chat. Turned out we'd both been to see Courtney Barnett a year earlier in Cardiff at the same gig. We talked about that for a bit. He pitched me a documentary and I was a bit like, I can't commission this, I'm very sorry.
a bit out of place on Squid Rugby YouTube channel.
Yeah. He was very lovely. He was very nice. And then he said to me, do you fancy a pint? But in Russ Harris's voice. And I thought, I don't. It's 1 p.m, but I'm not going to say no to a pint with Russ Harris because I've been watching this man on Scrum 5 since I was about 13. So he went over, he got his face printed on a Guinness. I got the Squid Rugby logo painted on the Guinness. And we stood there. We drank like half of it together. Then he walked off to go and talk to Sean Holly instead.
Bet he regrets that.
Yeah, that's harsh. He left for Sean Holly. Unless he had his guitar. Maybe they were going to have a sing song.
Oh, maybe. Do you think he would have whipped his guitar out? Just sort of waltzing the Wallabies again.
Almost certainly.
Do you think when Sean Holly got his, he asked for Shane Williams' face in the Guinness instead?
Daniel Bigger, I think he asked for. Who I used to coach.
Yes. Did you know he used to coach?
I'd like to take some of the blame for this. I've been rang Sean Holly up during the line so to talk about when he used to coach Dan Bigger.
Oh no, I'm sorry, Ben.
So if you're wondering who keeps, why does Sean Holly keep talking about it? It's because people like me keep asking.
Well, that's me shutting my mouth. I'm just gonna. Where's the?
I tried Stephen Jones. We didn't pick the phone up, so ended up speaking to Sean. The original idea for the story was to speak to every living Lions Welsh fly half, and then within about 4 days, I realised none of them were gonna pick up the phone. Well, I mean, to be fair, like how many are alive? Yeah, it's not
Bennett, Barry Jott,
Gareth Davis.
Gareth Davis, yeah. Neil Jenkins. I think he played fullback.
He played fullback, so I wasn't going to pick him anyway. He's in the Lions coaching staff, so I'm never going to speak to him.
Yeah, there are lots of them who are busy at the moment. Some of them are on a Lions tour.
Well, yeah, like you've got a couple on the Lions tour, and you've got Barry John in every pub at once in Cardiff.
Sat in the old arcade waiting for Ben's call.
That's like my friend Adam, who's been on this podcast, was on an episode during the 2011 World Cup, was telling when I saw him a couple of months ago about the time he was being accosted by a drunk man in a bar who was just talking at him while he was watching a game of rugby on the TV. And then he realised halfway through being really sick and tired of this guy that it was Barry John.
I don't think I've ever told this on my own podcast, and it's one of my favourites, so I'm going to say.
Okay.
That family friend of ours, Ray, playing rugby in the 70s, and every club had to send two representatives down to the Angel Hotel. And they were going to have a little award ceremony after a Wales-England game in the Six Nations.
Yeah.
And so the Wales team were in one room in the Angel Hotel, and then all these random players from all over Wales are in the other one.
Okay.
But there's only one toilet for both rooms. So all these people are like queuing up for the toilet. And so Ray taps the guy in front of him on the shoulder and he's like, that's John Taylor. That's John Taylor. They're going to the and the guy goes, way. And he's like, just there, just about to go to that's John Taylor. And he's like, oh, is he famous? I was like, he plays for Wales. And it's John Taylor. So he said they had a good like 10-minute conversation with this guy. And he's going, I'll go over and speak to him. He's like, don't speak to him. He's on a night out, leave him alone. So this guy goes to the toilet and walks out. Mm. And one of our players puts hands on Ray's shoulder and he says, how do you know Barry John then? And he literally spent 10 minutes explaining to Barry John who John Taylor was, who obviously seen the funny side of it, and just kept it going.
Yikes.
Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah.
So that's what drink does.
Barry
that's
John
why you don't
is...
start drinking at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with Ross Harris.
Yeah, that's where it could have led to. If only. Shea Williams reached across me to get to the buffet that day, which was a very surreal moment that I still want to tell 10-year-old me about. One day, I'll invent a time machine. I will not see baby Hitler at all. I will not do anything meaningful, but I will tell 10-year-old me that one day Shea Williams will reach across you at a buffet and he'll go, what, the first choice scrum off?
Wait, will you try and hold him up, though, if he's just like a volleyball or something?
Yeah.
Just out of instinct.
So I began what was going to be a very smooth segue, but we got
I'd
like to apologise. I just had some stuff to work out.
So the day I procured that ball that I was holding just there was the day that the first segment, and the idea is the day we're going to run through three various clips of rugby related YouTube things. That's the aim. The first one was shot on this media day where I got this ball and met the one and only Mr. Ben for the...
Mr. Ben? You met Mr. Ben?
I met Mr. Ben.
What was he doing at rugby media?
He went into the closet, came out as a rugby writer, listening to Keane.
I didn't know Mr. Ben was gay either.
Very progressive, these cartoons.
So, the first clip, and we'll leave this in a description or in a, you know, Twitter link or something as well. So people can look back on them, is a clip filmed for BBC Wales for Scrum 5, interviewing the various Pro 14 media types. So every team sent a coach and a player that day from the Pro 14 at the time, and they asked them all Christmas-related questions.
Yes, following so far.
Sorry, is that like opening the opening to the floor for discussion?
That was the idea. It went well.
My bad.
I don't know about you. When I was watching it, I was expecting Halloween, but it was Christmas, and that to me was surprising. Is that the sort of comment you were looking for?
Very much. Thank you. They should have given you a ball. So the video begins. The first thing they ask them after some nice shots of Rhys Patchell and Brad Moore and the likes putting on Santa hats, which is very festive.
I've noted Rhys Patchell and Ryan Wilson with red noses on, looking particularly dashing.
I think it was sort of, early November at the time when they shot with a shot?
I'll tell you what it was. It was the day after Alan Clark got sacked.
Yes. Yeah.
Hookie and Richie Pugh turned up with the Ospreys having not made an announcement because they were still sort of in a league. They were like an illegal sort of state of flux. So they hadn't announced it. Everyone else knows that Alan Clark's been sacked. And you had Hookie and Richie Pugh basically just fielding like softball questions about Christmas all day while the whole region was just in a state of like absolute chaos. So that was fun.
So I think I've told this story.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah.
Not November. Yeah. We had our post World Cup night out that night. Mm. So it must have been then.
Right. I think I've told this story before in the pod. Will remember better than me about my James Hook story.
I don't think you have told that on.
No, I've not told
that. In fact,
this
pod. No, you have. But
Hookie came up last year at Christmas, anyway. I think.
Yeah. So. Like a week earlier when James Hook had been playing for the Ospreys, I'd tweeted something about how badly he was playing. Someone tagged him, and then James Hook himself replied saying, call yourself an Ospreys fan or whatever. Why don't you just support the team? Which, you know, fair enough. And I was very harsh in his performance, and I don't blame him for sticking up for himself. I then forgot about this. He then forgot about this. But then, as I say, so this media day had been a nightmare. We were told not to talk about it, but that's all anyone wanted to talk about was the fact that Alan Clark, the Ospreys head coach at the time, had been sacked the day beforehand. And they sent, Richie Pugh, who'd been coaching for like 2 weeks at the time, and James Hook. And I was doing interviews with Andy McGeady from, you know, who does the Under the Post, Under the Six podcast.
Yeah.
And they'd paired us up to do interviews, the Pro 14 themselves. And as James Hook and Richie Pugh were about to walk into the room, one of the guys from the Pro 14 said, Robbie, did you have beef with James Hook on Twitter about 2 weeks ago? And I went, kinda, why? And he went, brilliant, I'm going to remind him and send him into the room now. Because they figured if the interview became me and James Hook bickering at each other, we wouldn't talk about Alan Clark.
They are rascals, the Pro 14. I mean, they're whatever it's called.
Yeah, they shouldn't have given you that ball.
Yeah. I think it was probably an apology.
I hope they gave James Hook a ball as well.
He did
you can take this away.
Yeah.
So how did it go? Was it
okay? I mean, I mean, he beat me up repeatedly. You know, he threw a few hooks.
Nice.
Then Mr. Ben came in to try and split everything up, calm everyone down. Like, gentlemen, no need for this.
Mr. Ben's day out as a goal kicker. He definitely wasn't going as James Hook then. So doesn't look.
That was only the second worst silence of the podcast so far.
I didn't tell James Hook he had cancer, so it's okay. Yeah. It went better than that. No, I mean, what the two standout moments were James Hook saying, oh, you know, you say you're an Ospreys fan, but da 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 da. And I interrupted him to say, well, I did travel down to watch us play Saracens the weekend. And he went, oh, did you? Fair enough. Because it was something like 42-0 to Saracens that weekend. And the other one, the other moment was James Hook saying, you know, sometimes you have haters and trolls and so on online, but always it's someone who looks like that and pointed at me.
A man who can't even get his face in a Guinness.
Is that why you didn't have a face in the Guinness? In case James Hook recognises you more than Sparky. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, when that Guinness thing was there and at the lunch thing as well around it, like, I kept almost walking past James Hook and we had to, like, awkwardly avoid each other. Whilst just trying to, you know, let Shane Williams reach across me to get to the sausage rolls.
I'm just picturing, like, you've just left your Guinness with your face lying around and he's just looked in it and seen a reflection and gone, it's him again. It's one of those people who looks like that.
He did refer to me as my troll, which was appreciated.
That means you're his.
I've got an official title. Yeah, you know, I feel like we're official now.
You're something to him.
Yeah. So, yeah, speaking of which...
Give Ben your fucking ball, you fuckwit.
I should add, I was really friendly to James that day.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had been.
I think I do a podcast that was going out like a week after that.
Mm.
So I just remember him and going, him and Richard's like, so, do you think Alan will be sacked this time next week?
Just a small talk, yeah? That was even off mic.
Yeah, I just did, like, I don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about. Otherwise, I did, do you think he'll be gone next week?
Yeah, do you think Alan Clark will be sacked this time yesterday?
Oh, dear. I also found out that day that he was writing his kids' book, but I never ran that story. I thought I'd leave it, and then I think ITV did it, or BBC.
Mm.
The one that got away.
Always next time.
Do you regret that exclusive getting away from you?
No.
You definitely didn't insult him.
No.
He definitely didn't, yeah. You know, wish you malice in the same way as he did. I will mention his other people on this podcast.
I mean, I don't know if Kilvinnet had particularly bad COVID at the start of lockdown. But if so, then me, Hookie and Nige could be responsible for a super spreader event there. Because the night before the Wales-Scotland game got called off, we did a live podcast there. And Jesus Christ, just the amount of people who were like giving him hugs and giving Nige hugs and handshakes, even though we sort of said, we think this COVID thing might be bad.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, come on, Nige. And it's like, oh, so I don't know how many people in that clubhouse are still alive now.
And you've waited 2 years, let Kelly Jones from the Stereophonics take the shit for this, and it turns out he's you, James.
No, he cancelled the gig for the first time ever this time round.
Phonics couldn't have filled out Kilvinnet, the rugby club. Let me tell you that now. We'll be able to find it.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, to move back to this video very quickly. Oh, yeah. Look, we can move away again.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of highlights in the video, isn't there?
This is a good video. It's a good video.
So,
about Christmas.
The first question they ask is, were you on the naughty or nice list this year, right? And I do wonder, because they've trimmed this down quite a lot, I reckon there probably are a lot of players who didn't answer or just said nice or said something incriminating, possibly along
or
the way.
Or answered it properly, like a really long answer, you know?
Yeah.
Which you don't want. You just want a 1 second answer, don't you?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, they're all one word answers, and they all either say naughty. I think someone says...
The ones that made the cut, yeah.
Yeah, It's the worst one to start off with as well.
It is all
just one word answers and it's flat. Everyone just phones it in, just nice.
Yeah. Apart from Brad Moore. Brad Moore says, I think I'm mischievous but nice.
Yes.
Which is a good answer.
So I've written down, okay, where everything went. Jack O'Donoghue, Dan McFarlane, Luke Marshall, and Rodri Williams and Reese Patchell all say nice. Ryan Wilson is the only person that outright says he's been naughty.
I believe that, yeah.
Which, yeah, I've seen him play. You know, that makes sense. Brad Moore, the Scarlets coach at the time, says I was mischievous but nice, which he always seemed like such an over-the-toply nice character.
Yeah, that he's just playing
raises
down.
Questions now.
Like, he's literally too humble to say he's on the nice list.
But was he... Either that, or this is him admitting to the fact that he is the smiling serial killer.
It could be.
Have we got crime rates in West Wales from before and after he left the Scarlets?
No.
And have they gone up in the
I mean, I can't think of anything funny to say about West Wales without sort of getting sacked. So... No, that's the first time I've ever met Brad Moore.
Mm. To be fair, he wasn't here very long.
He wasn't here very long.
If he was a serial killer, it was a very short spate of crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, they often are.
It was just one mad weekend. Got out of hand.
That was that La Rochelle quarterfinal. It really went downhill after that. The other response is by Michael Bradley, who says, and this is my favourite answer, depends who you're talking to.
Nice.
That's a really... Because he had a couple of those where he would avoid the question in quite a specific manner, but you don't know what the subtext is, so it doesn't quite make sense.
You know, that answer is directly from Blind Date. That's the kind of... You know, the clip of Amanda Holden on Blind Date? That's exactly the kind of answer she would have given if Scylla had asked. So it depends on who you ask. And then Graham would have thrown in his reminder.
But who are we asking? Which begs, let's play the new game show. Who does Michael Bradley not want you to ask?
I thought we were going to play Blind Date for a second.
We should. We could.
Have any of you seen the... Getting on Scylla Black tangents.
Please.
Have any of you seen the thing on Twitter? It's something to do... A habit she used to have was on a Sunday, she used to like smear... What was it? Was it an apple or something with an OXO cube and eat it?
What?
Which was technically, because I think, was she a strict Catholic or a strict Christian, and they couldn't eat meat on a Sunday. So she genuinely thought she was going to go to hell for basically eating an OXO cube on a Sunday. And there's this great video of her talking about it on Twitter, and then you just saw people sort of mocking up photoshops of her and Rose West. and it's just, it's glorious. I've probably got some of my bookmarks, because it's one of my favourite tweets. But
didn't she famously went to the Cavern Club while the Beatles were there? Could she not have just had a word with Linda McCartney about some sausages? It's true. There's ways and means.
I don't know. Why did they leave that scene out of Last Night in Soho? Why did they bring Scylla Black in and not have her eat an OXO cube?
Smear on an apple.
Yeah.
I apologize. That. It was an orange. So she cut an orange.
That's completely different.
I'm watching the video now. She cut an orange in half. She literally just rub an OXO cube on it.
There's a video.
Yeah, it's I want to click it. I'm still a black in this video, but there we go. But the first comment was, you know, she went straight to hell, and this is. that's in my bookmarks. Oh God.
For anyone listening to this podcast, Ben's just shown us the video, and it's great.
I tell you what, we'll put a link to that in the podcast description as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We've given that a bit more light than the stuff we're meant to be talking about. So,
I do love how quickly you found that.
I've got it to hand now.
That's incredible.
So, the naughty and nice thing, any more comments on that before we go to the next question?
The only one I truly believe is Rodri Williams. When he says he's nice, he genuinely has come across as like almost choir boy-esque.
I think Patchell comes across as quite nice.
Oh, yeah, I see him as nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I can't remember his answer.
I think he's in that. I'm 100% buying Ryan Wilson being naughty constantly.
Yeah.
Only because shithouse list was not an option.
I reckon he answered that first.
Oh, yeah.
You said you catch your hand and go in. Can we just try it again?
They then ask, What gift do you want for Christmas this year?
Mm, the best present you can get. And the open is quite good on this.
Yeah. So, look, I think, Ben, it's your turn to talk about James Hook. Because I've done it enough.
What did you say? He said pants and socks, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Jesus, this is effectively, this is a running joke in our office.
Right?
One of the WhatsApp groups I'm in was for a long time named Extra Pants and Socks because the Six Nations after that, I went out to Dublin for the Ireland game, and it was Storm Ciara, or Ciara, as they pronounce it over there, at the time. So they had me, they basically were like, what would be good if you just walk around Bristol Airport and speak to people, see how you going to deal with going to Dublin and Storm Ciara, once you get stuck out there. So I did that, and a few of the boys in the office pointed out that every person I spoke to, the first question, if not the last question I definitely ask, would be, got any extra pants and socks? to the point where just like every person I was speaking to was like, oh, you got your extra pants and socks ready. So that's, yeah. So when Hookie said that, I had sort of Vietnam-style flashbacks to Bristol Airport. Where also, hilariously, I spoke for about 20 minutes. They're like, speak to people who are going to Dublin. So I saw this massive group of supporters in Wales jerseys, and I thought, great. They're half cut. It's about 11 o'clock. They'll be great to speak to. So I went and sat down with them. They were very welcoming, some more than others. You know what it's like? Middle-aged Welsh rugby fans. The husband's full of stuff to speak about. The wife's usually a bit touchy-feely. So I started speaking to them for a good 20 minutes. And then I thought, so where are you staying in Dublin? They went, Dublin? No, we're going to Alicante. We watch the Ireland match in Spain there every year. And I was like, oh, fuck's sake. So I basically completely wasted 20 minutes of my life in Bristol Airport.
People have wasted far more.
Definitely. But so I think Hookie's answer is sensible.
Yes, in conclusion, yes.
Yeah, in conclusion. Yeah. It's a very un-James Hook answer.
This is my thing with it. Like, this guy was one of the most exciting players of his generation. He was lauded as the next Barry John. He could come up with anything. It's not real. They're not going to give it to you. He could have said a unicorn or anything, a sports car, anything you want. Pants and socks.
BBC were asking the questions. Like,
He specifies you can never have too many pants or socks. So that implies, if a sports car was on the table, maybe convert the amount of money you would spend on a sports car to how many pants and socks you could get with that. Who knows? James Hook might have a room full of pants and socks. Make it canon.
I think that's actually going to be in his next children's book. He's written...
the next one is called You Can Never Have Too Many Pants or Socks. Yeah.
Two books about chasing a rugby dream, and then a third one, which is entirely about trying to get enough pants and socks for you to live with.
How many pants and socks are too many pants and socks? Because he does say, you can never have too many pants and socks, can you? Because he goes full Welsh on all his answers. Well,
yes.
Yeah, because jumping ahead, I love when he goes, little donkey, is it?
Yes. Yeah, I'm written down very specifically. Oh, little donkey, is it?
Uncle Bryn. He sounds like Uncle Bryn from Gavin and Stacey as he says it. They used to sing when you were young. And he goes, is it?
Yeah.
And the childlike excitement in his face. It was superb. He looks so happy answering our question.
He has that look of like, oh, that's a banger, actually. I've not heard that in a few years.
I'm assuming this was before we met Robbie. He seems really happy.
I have that effect on everyone I meet. There's never been a moment, that little donkey moment, never been a moment where James Hook reminded me more of my granddad. It's very, very full on in that one beat.
Very Welsh.
So
Jamie Ritchie says his perfect present is shoes. Fair enough.
Okay.
Richie Pugh's favourite present is slippers, which I like. It's a bit more specific. Again.
It's very foot-based.
Yeah.
Like a Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino, Quentin Tarantino presents the Pro 14.
But it then...
There's far more blood bins.
It's
far fewer HIAs because everyone's lost their heads.
It gets worse because there's one answer that multiple people will say. And You think, yeah. Oh yeah, there's one thing. There's yeah. one thing that two people want. It would be, oh yeah, toys or you yeah, know, bloody.
I'd want a PS5. I'd want shoes and even yeah. pants and socks because it's such a staple, like cliche Christmas present.
Yeah, exactly. Something, a new yeah. hat.
Orange and an OXO cube.
Exactly.
And a Cilla Black LP.
Chocolate oranges without superficial damage. But no, instead, both Dean Ryan and Alberto Sgarbi say a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Alberto Sgarbi's very firm on it. Whereas...
Yeah, yeah, it's just like, oh, a chainsaw. He's very casual as well.
Yeah.
Like, what like, I want yeah. is a chainsaw. Yeah. I've already asked my wife for this. Yes. Or, you know, my mom.
And the police. Santa. Yes.
Yes.
Whereas Dean Ryan's a bit more like, why?
If he's self-aware,
honest,
yeah.
What I want is a chainsaw.
But then that,
because
that,
I'm struggling to motivate my players. So I think if I just stand at the end of the paddock with a chainsaw, they might win a game this yeah. season.
So Dean and Ryan a shows a little bit of guilt. Skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, watching that made me then think, oh, okay, am I strange for not wanting a chainsaw for Christmas? Like, is that what most people want?
I came away from that day wanting a chainsaw.
Well, funny you should say that, because Rory James on the way out picked up the Pro 14 chainsaw.
No, James Hook chased me out with one.
It's the most terrifying answer you can ever give to what you yeah. want for Christmas.
Oh, you just like, know that as soon as Dean Ryan's come in, they just got bloody nutter just before you wanted a chainsaw.
Yeah.
You can't even keep a straight face, Dean Ryan, as he says it. He's trying really hard not to laugh. As he declares his want for a chainsaw.
Whereas Alberto Sgarbi, you listen yeah. to him ask for a chainsaw.
He really means it.
He has killed and he will kill again.
Yeah. I feel like Dean Ryan loves to shock, like, surprise people.
Mm.
I think he always seems to pick the answer that people don't expect him to say.
Sure, yeah.
Which
yeah.
He does in a bit.
Am I right in thinking we didn't hear Scarby's answers to whether he's on the naughty or nice list? Because I think I'm making a confession.
I'm not on the naughty or nice list, but I am on a police watch list. Does that count?
Do you think maybe the reason... I think they must have cut him out of the naughty or nice bit. But do you think that was because he said, look, I've got something to confess.
Yeah,
I actually killed a man. And they were like, whoa, we can't put that in there. Okay, tell me what you want for Christmas. Chainsaw.
Bleach.
What's your favourite Christmas song? Killing in the Name. Speaking of, that's the next question they go on yeah. to is favourite Christmas song. So who is it in the Ulster shirt? Is it
Dan McFarland?
Dan McFarland. I thought it was Dan McFarland, yeah. So he says Last Christmas by Wham, which is a controversial choice.
Hey, Marshall. Last Christmas, Alberto Sgarbi cut out your heart and gave it to you.
Last Christmas, I handed you your ass.
And the very next day, sorry, go on. I started that in the hope I'd come up with something by the time I got to the end of the lyric, and I did not.
Luke Marshall and Roger Williams both say Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh,
yeah. And so does Jack O'Donoghue.
Jack O'Donoghue, yeah. Scott Fardy says Jingle Bells.
Mm.
Chew. You know, it's a good choice from Scott Fardy, I think.
Can you imagine Scott Fardy singing Jingle Bells?
No.
We should take a moment.
Yeah, everyone take a moment. Just picture it.
Put OXO cube on the orange.
I think it's something for Terry's to think about next year, though.
Oh, yeah.
OXO chocolate orange.
Or an orange chocolate chainsaw. Tick every box. Alberto Sgarbi can have one downstairs and in his stocking.
What, one body in each, is that?
Yeah.
The stocking has just got a severed leg still in it. Yeah.
His stocking's made of a real human leg. So Dean Ryan, after the chainsaw answer that he was laughing at, he answers that his favourite Christmas song is a song called Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. I'm not familiar with this song, but yeah, suddenly Ramones. We can link this up.
It's the Ramones.
Right, okay.
He does,
I'm not familiar with this song, but it very much checks out with his previous chainsaw answer.
I've become a bigger fan. I like Dean Ryan anyway, and I think he's a very good fan. I've become a bigger fan of Dean Ryan having watched this video. Mm.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Mostly because he terrifies me, but it's a great one. Like, everyone chooses the Pogues, which I think I would under pressure. As in, I would choose the Pogues under pressure, nor I would choose Queen and David Bowie thinking it's a Christmas song. Under pressure, I would choose the Pogues as well. But Dean Ryan's definitely got the best answer. It's the cooler.
Yeah.
What's your favourite Christmas song, Robbie?
Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses.
Okay, Ben?
Oh, nice. I'd probably go Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I was thinking Paul McCartney. Yeah, I think either Paul McCartney or Slade.
Yeah. I think Christmas
or Lennon.
Uncle
Albert, mm-hmm. General Halsey. That's a good Paul McCartney song. now, all I can think, have you seen the Peter Serafinowicz sketch, the Ringo Remember stuff?
Yes.
That's all I think. Whenever I hear Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time, McCartney, that's all I think about. It's just Peter Serafinowicz as Ringo pretending to get Paul McCartney arrested for basically doing a sex song at Christmas.
See, that's one of the Christmas songs I can't handle.
Really?
I can't.
The Shins have done a cover of it, which
I think you repeat yourself too much.
It's the Shins cover is actually the pinnacle of music without drugs.
The Shins don't do drugs.
I think Tom Chaplin needs to have a word about this.
Has Keane done a Christmas song?
They feel like the kind of band that would have. They feel like they're exactly the sort of band that will unnecessarily put bells into everything.
Song a Christmas song from, you know, you can just play Crystal Ball at Christmas and, you know, Giovanni Ribisi's in the music video, I should add, you know, that's a pretty big name.
Is that what's happened to him?
That's what happened to him.
I haven't seen him in a while. He's in
Seth MacFarlane films.
Yeah, exactly. He's only been in Seth MacFarlane's films for the last sort of 5 years.
No, he's not in The Young Pope, but he's in some. Or maybe he's in The Young Pope.
He's probably, yeah.
I don't watch, but I'm aware of it.
Sorry, Paolo Sorrentino.
Should we get back onto the...
Does he play for Zebra as well?
Yeah.
So they ask a lot of people to sing Christmas songs, and they all say no, apart from Brad Moore, who starts singing Band-Aid, which is
they cut it. It cuts from him saying it to him actually singing it. Mm. So I wonder if there was a long negotiation where they try and egg him on, or if they had to ask him at all. Like, I wonder if he just cut.
I reckon more like the latter.
Mm.
I think that's probably why he fucked off to New Zealand. He was so embarrassed at falling for Catherine Ellen's trick. He can never show his face around West Wales again. So there's no scrum five in New Zealand. I'm going down there. I can't take this anymore. Plus the police have found the first body.
So. Yeah. It wasn't chopped up properly like Scarby could have taught him. You know, they should have taken some time aside during that lunchroom.
Well, he did ring Dean Ryan and ask him if he could borrow his chainsaw. And
They then ask favourite Christmas carols. So, yeah, I mean, I think my favourite might be Little Donkey, Is It? You know, Little Donkey, Is It? And so on. That's the only notable answer I've written down.
Yeah, I did. Well, you know.
Silent Night, someone said.
The June. Yeah. I watched the film Silent Night last night with Keira Knightley. Just come out. It's all right. Inexplicably very, very harrowing for a film that sells itself as a Christmas comedy.
Well, it sounds like a horror film.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets really depressing later on. Like, there is one of the most harrowing images I've ever seen in it later on.
That's some clickbait for you.
I'm genuinely in. If you had said there's a Christmas film with Keira Knightley and I was out until he said it's really harrowing and dark and I'm out, well, suddenly I'm like...
Yeah. The first sort of half hour is kind of like... you know, rich family or rich group of friends coming together for Christmas, and then it slowly becomes more and more depressing until, as I say, there's a genuinely very, very upsetting image towards the end, and then it's just really sad for the last few minutes. And that is the film Silent Night, available now on VOD.
Announces to a room of unexpecting people that she has cancer. Completely shocked and taken aback.
I wish it stopped there. So, what were we saying? Oh, yeah. The South Africans seem
more. How would Keira Knightley announce? How would she announce that she had cancer?
A press statement, I reckon.
I think she would do it with a fantastic performance, to be fair.
Didn't she get a pun in there? Get like a Love Actually pun in there?
Maybe she would just do it with the cards.
I can't do a Keira Knightley impression, to be fair. It's just white jaw, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't even think of what she sounds like, but just posh in English.
Just, generic posh. Yeah. That'll do it.
I have cancer actually. Yeah, like that.
I think that was the Queen. That was the Queen. This is definitely getting edited out.
No, it's not.
Look, I have the power to decide what doesn't get edited out. This is staying in, my man.
Once the laugh track gets out of it, everyone's gonna be like, "Yeah, that was."
It should be that on Silent Night.
Who's this guy? Where's his Netflix special?
You haven't made enough transphobic jokes yet to get on. You know, that's where we're falling short of getting yourself a Netflix special. There's a good recurring thing that South Africans see more into the Carol question than the Christmas offer.
They're quite sort of sincere about this.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of cultural difference, I think. I didn't realize.
Band-Aid, never heard of it.
Yeah.
What's notable is Cardiff don't feature once.
Typical BBC bias.
No, Mulverhill's in it, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he is, right at the start.
Looking like some sort of extra from an Australian soap, or a bit like a Harold Bishop character. His Welsh is very good at the end, though.
Oh, he just doesn't
answer any of the questions.
The rest of you also take a moment of looking at him and going, "Who is that?" Even though it's less than a year since he left the Cardiff job.
Alarmingly, I remembered, but I'm now trying to think what, because like he must have had some really like boring answers, but not like. They kept pants and socks.
No. If I know
not that level.
If I know John Melville was, he probably just kept talking.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I've never known a man to effectively like you walk out of a press conference and he'll still be talking to you and give you like about four more news lines.
Wow.
Just like right. Okay. Just leave the room. That's it. Done. He's here. Going. Oh yeah. And by the way, you know. James Botham's broken his leg, but keep that on the hush. Yes.
Yeah. I got him with the chainsaw again. Oh.
Last time I saw him was climbing Constitution Hill in Aberystwyth. That's genuinely the last time I saw Melville.
Yeah. When was that?
It was the day after.
Just before Brad Moore left Wales.
Yeah. Pushed it off the cliff. Should have done it, but. It was
unless
after
the regional rivalries aren't spicy enough.
When was the last year the Cardiff Blues played the home game at Rodney Parade?
Oh yeah. Okay.
When did the pub quiz start? Did I miss? Am I wondering?
Don't worry. When we start,
it's a Christmas party. It's what we do.
When we start asking where the Lions store, I genuinely don't remember anything. I don't remember the thing.
The two moments that are in my video of like 63 moments are the only two. There's three of them in there, and I forgot one of them already.
I watched the video yesterday, and I don't remember that.
Genuinely, the only things I remember from the Lions tour: Mornay staying, Josh Adams scoring four tries. That is it. That is the extent of what I remember. And I spent so much
Johnny
time
Hill loving
every single game. That's different. No, because that changed my life. But that's
we know
that's
what
did
Christmas.
I ever see that?
What?
So there was one of those inside the bubble videos they did. Which was Johnny Hill and I can't remember some of the other players.
I can't remember who else.
Maybe Ali Price or someone.
Yeah, Ali Price rings a bell.
One of the questions was about, like, what's your favourite kind of biscuit? And the other just kind of go, like, custard cream, bourbon. And then Johnny Hill talks about two solid minutes about how much he loves biscuits.
And, like, gives his ranking
the conversation
of his favourite biscuits.
Yeah. And, like, what he likes to do with biscuits and, like, his Christmas traditions about biscuits. And then the conversation changes and he changes it and turns it back, like, really suddenly to being about how much he loves biscuits again. And he keeps bringing every answer back to how much he loves biscuits. And I'm pretty sure the only reason Sale managed to sign him is they got him under the salary cap because they paid him exclusively in bourbons.
Yeah. That's like me and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
A wonderful physical actress.
She's not afraid to be ugly. And I think that's a great skill.
I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a beautiful woman.
Yeah, exactly. But in comedy terms, she's not afraid to be unattractive. Which I think just marks her out.
Well, it's the.
I'll tell you what, I watched the Michael Richards Comedian in Cars yesterday. That's.
Oh, boy.
It's fun watching that because it just reminds you why you sort of need people outside of your own echo chamber. Just watching Jerry and Michael Richards basically talk about that incident and being like, yeah, it was a bit bad, but. Okay.
Have you seen the clip of Jerry Seinfeld on, I think it's Conan O'Brien, talking about that?
Is it the one where they get him on to apologise?
Yeah.
It's Letterman. I don't know if it is Letterman.
I watched it
2 days ago.
Okay. I watched it about 4 weeks ago. So, you know, you've got me there.
And he's there, like, telling the crowd. Yeah, he's there, like, this isn't funny. Don't laugh.
For anyone unaware, Kramer from Seinfeld did a really racist stand-up routine that then went viral in about 2010. And the next night, or maybe sometime that week, Jerry Seinfeld then went on Letterman, as you say, to apologize for him and to do a live link with him.
Yeah.
And the moment Michael Richards starts talking, the audience start laughing because he's Kramer. And it's just like, oh, look at these wacky Kramer incidents, being racist, doing stand-up. And everyone's just assuming it's like a Seinfeld outtake.
Oh, no.
And Jerry Seinfeld looks at the audience and goes, stop laughing, it's not funny.
He apologizes to the Afro-American community, which, like, you're thinking, he must mean this is a joke. Kramer.
I wonder if Aaron Smith's reached this video yet in terms of his binging of Seinfeld.
I hope so.
That's going to be devastated when he finds out.
That tweet made me happier than almost anything else this year.
Why would that make your top 63 moments?
It should have been. Oh, man, I should have put Aaron Smith is now
side by side
Seinfeld
with Taniela Tupo downing a sausage, you know? Just, I feel like they're both...
Several days after that tweet, I was just thinking to myself, I checked the time in New Zealand to be like, oh, it's daytime, but Aaron Smith's watching more Seinfeld now. He's got the one with the Chinese restaurant.
He's either watching Seinfeld or he's in an airport doing things that we can't talk about.
Snecky toilet actions.
Snecky Seinfeld actions.
he's in airport toilets just with Seinfeld on his phone, illegally streaming it.
Just thinking,
don't worry, bro, they're not going to find us.
You know, Julia Louis Dreyfus is really not afraid to be ugly in comic terms.
She isn't. She really isn't.
I do like the idea of it being actress. Being in the disabled toilet with someone and just going, can we get this over with? Because in-flight entertainment's got Seinfeld on it. We can fit another episode in before we take off.
Oh, I'm really hoping Aaron Smith moves on to Veep afterwards. Because that is an even funnier image. Aaron Smith struggling to keep up with the office of the Deputy President of the United States. That was a more difficult sentence than I was expecting.
I bet Aaron Smith would really get committed into the premise of if the president has called yet. I think he would be on the edge of his seat.
Now, speaking of A, questionable snacky toilet actions, and B, comedies, they then ask in this Profile Team video we'll go briefly back to before we inevitably, you know, spiral off again. They ask a very strange question. Who would you like to kiss under the mistletoe?
Yes.
And obviously the majority of them answer, my wife.
Yeah.
Nice reference.
Big fan of Richard Cockerell naming his wife as well.
Yeah, very specific. Yeah, yeah. Hands off.
Naming another random woman for a second.
I saw her first.
I had a moment when he says Sarah Jane Cockerell of thinking, oh, is she like an actress from a soap or something? And him saying, then you're qualifying like, oh, that's my wife. That's my wife, by the way.
He said it like he was reading it off his marriage certificate. Like he gave her a middle name and everything.
Dan McFarland says Luke Marshall.
Nice.
Which is an interesting answer.
Good comedy answer.
It does, you'd be pissed off if you were another centre in Ulster Rugby, thinking, oh, that's why he's getting picked above me, you know. But you then get Ryan Wilson says John Barkley, which, again, quite a strong answer that is. And do we know who the South African in a zebra jersey is?
Oh,
any idea?
Yes, because I interviewed him and... I know his name.
Okay. Yeah, two people were actually at this event, if anyone should know.
Yeah.
we can come back to you on who that was. But he says, Emma Watson, why don't we meet up sometime?
No, sorry, that was Tommaso Boni. That was not...
Tommaso Boni. Oh, okay. Tommaso Boni. For some reason. I was convinced that was the South African accent he speaks in when he's speaking in English. But yeah, he says, Emma Watson... Let's meet up sometime, which is, with the context of the other jokey answer everyone else said, or my wife, really creepy.
Yeah. It's also vastly overrating the reach of BBC Wales.
That's what I was going to say. I love the idea that Emma Watson sat in the house putting Scrum 5 on.
Yeah, she's tuning into
like,
Dragon's
Quite like the look. Quite like the look of Tommaso Boni, actually.
Do you think Emma Watson was weighing it up, but then saw that he had no kicking game and sort of wrote him up.
Unsend message.
Yeah.
I just like the idea she sat there with like Daniel Radcliffe and she's like, oh, we're going to miss the stat pad.
I don't think they all live together.
How they do it? They all live in Hogwarts. I've seen it.
Emma Watson did go out with a rugby player who, if you ever Google it, is listed always as rugby star. He played a handful of games for Oxford University, never played professionally, even semi-professionally. But even like when they split up, it was Emma Watson, a major rugby star, split up.
Right. So I believe me, I heard this through a friend of mine who watches Love Island. And apparently there was a point where somebody really like painted somebody who was like this huge rugby player who was their ex to be like this big villain of like, oh no, he destroyed me in my past relationship. It was really quite tough to get through that and stuff. Quite a big name rugby player, you know, he's quite famous. It was Mike Poole.
Do either of you remember Mike Poole?
Former Dragons and Scarlets winger Mike Poole.
Best known
Mike Poole,
for being
the ex of that girl who was on Love Island.
Ben, you look like you're rocking your brains.
I can't remember.
No.
The stat that always got brought up about him, or the fact about him, was he was a ex-cage fighter who then took up rugby. Yeah, played on the wing.
And you hope that's unrelated to the relationship story.
Yes. My main memory of him was the Dragons account tweeting, try by number 11, Pooley, legend, and then the score. And that was sticking with me because he played two games for them at the time. Yeah.
Rugby legend, though, huge name.
Are you thinking of Joe Adua?
I remember Joe Adua.
I wish.
The LV Cup legend, Joe Adua.
Yeah. Who turned down a Nigeria call-up because he thought he was going to make the Wales team.
What?
Yeah. That was the thing. When he was like 19.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I like that Nigeria still went interested after it was clear he wasn't going to get a Wales call. Yeah.
He said no once. We're not going to come crawling back to you.
I remember that game against London Irish when Joe Adua and Andy Femby were making their debuts and all the hype was over Joe Adua. We should have kept our eye on the greatest winger that isn't Richard Fussell of all time, Andy Femby.
I tried to start the Andy Femby for England, Andy Femby for Wales campaign for him as soon as he scored. And yeah, obviously that didn't happen.
I know.
And then
I miss him. He was great.
Yeah. We could have had Richard Fussell at fullback, Will Harries, and Andy Femby on the wings.
What a back three?
What an era that could have been for Welsh rugby.
All of your problems are sorted with that back
if
three.
If the noughties was the early tens, you know, could have been golden.
That would have cured your not COVID.
Yeah. There's a parallel world where I did have cancer and it got cured by the fact that in that universe, Andy Femby has six caps.
Will Harries has three.
Yeah,
a whole three. He was like my favourite player for a season when I was like 12.
He was great.
The only one, all the caps he won was actually when he wasn't that good. When he was at his like peak, he didn't care looking.
Yeah,
no, he got capped. He got capped when he was all the way down.
Yeah, no, because he played
against New Zealand in 2010.
Yeah,
he played Australia that autumn as well.
Yeah,
and then got just shoved out for ages.
Because the next game,
a few years later, yeah.
Yeah, the next game.
Nugget century, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Adam Warren's only cap.
Yeah, I think it was
I also think it is that game. Yeah. I think of it more as
famous Buffy picker Shane Williams pulled up with injury from what I remember.
Yeah. So Harries got called in.
Will Harries got called in.
And then he played with Shane on one wing and him on the other wing against Australia. He had a great run. We stepped out of Ashley Cooper in the last minute.
Yes.
And then the following week, Wales brought in a unheralded 18-year-old to start over him called George
Tom Pride. No.
That was David Howells, yeah.
Oh, David Howells.
Bless him. Could have been very, very good. Should we continue talking about reasonably obscure Welsh wingers of the last 15 years? Because this is one of my special subjects.
Look, there's so few people in the world we can talk about this with.
Does Chris Cheka fall into this? I used to like Cheka.
I was never sold on Chris Cheka.
I liked him for the Blues in that period where he played fullback. I liked that.
His last cap was also that South Africa game when North started.
Of course it was. Wow, it's all coming together, isn't it?
That was that one game. Cap?
It was. Yeah, no, he came on for Shane Williams on the wing.
Yeah, he
bombed a try, and then there was the one where Shanklin did a grubber kick.
Yeah,
it was never on.
Yeah. That game was quite painful.
Yeah. And Steve Walsh calling back the knock on being before half time when it wasn't. Yes. And scoring from it and those points being the difference.
Yeah. Man, what a game 10 years ago that happened. Also, today, as we record this, is Lee Halfpenny's 32nd birthday. He is like 25. I'm not standing for him being 32.
I think the opposite. Lee Halfpenny seems to have been around forever. He seems to have been in Wales forever, and he was in France for a bit as well.
But he was a teenager when I was like, you know, growing up watching rugby. It just feels wrong that he's like now the experienced guy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in denial.
Yeah, I think it's a generational gap. It was the same when I brought up Blind Date. There was a look that no one knew what I was talking about.
Sorry.
He doesn't have to apologize for being old. By the way, I turned 36 on Saturday.
Happy birthday.
It wasn't just me looking for attention then. There's a point to that. And I was in Cardiff. I was in the Philly.
Mm.
For anyone who knows the Philly. And someone
wanted Philly Hard Medic on Thursday nights. Yeah. You're a medical student.
Someone wandered up to me and he threw his arm around me and he said, I'm 18 today. And I said, oh, I'm 36 today. And he said, oh, man, I hope I'm still going to clubs when I'm 36. I was like, I'm 36 or 86, you prick. Like, it's not that old.
To be fair, I'm 26 and I'm not. So
and then I did follow that up by waking up on Saturday morning, having danced for 3 hours and could barely feel my legs. It took me about 2 hours to go to bed.
I'm so sorry to say this, but your 18th birthday was the day you was born in that case.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
I do that laddie thing. I could be his dad.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's the laddie thing you've got to say, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
You never know. I wasn't.
Yeah. Should we move on to the second video?
Yeah, let's do it.
Just
I mean, this
quicker.
Is 10 minutes long.
Yeah, should we? So this is a video that I will say outright, if we weren't talking about it for this, I would not have watched all the way through.
Sure.
Sure, it's long-winded.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I was watching it for this and I still didn't watch it all the way through. I skipped a few times.
Fair enough.
I respect the honesty on that.
Craig Gilroy's like Bruce Forsyth in the hostage situation, isn't he?
I was thinking that. Craig Gilroy, so it's the Ulster Rugby Christmas Challenge, right? Hosted by Craig Gilroy, seemingly with Alberto Scarpe with a chainsaw off camera, threatening to chop his head off. Like, you think there's going to be a red dot appear on his jersey that they're going to disguise as being on the hand?
They would never put on an Ulster jersey. It has to remain looking exactly the same. So they can't put a red dot on it. It's going to spoil the aesthetic.
Well, that's it. You do it on the red hand. You do it over the top of the red hand so no one will notice.
Or an away jersey.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite spectacular. The fact that there's so many times when he seems like he's had hosting lessons. Like, he's saying all the right things and doing all the right things and has the right instincts. He's just so static and dull and held at gunpoint.
The intent is there for him to go, oh, yeah, you can get these at the Ulster Rugby website. Yeah. And then he proceeds to say, I don't know what the Ulster Rugby website is, but you can get them on there, probably.
He's a far better YouTuber than I am.
Yeah. I'm on that note.
We've done it. We've had it.
He didn't even like say he remembered to like and subscribe once.
No,
so.
that was a disappointment. That was a disappointment.
It kind of feels like, you know, on The Apprentice, when 1 week they'll put them on QVC or one of those shops.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
They've got to sell like a fucking space hopper with a pedometer in or something. And they've got to try and give it their best thing. And they're just so God, wooden. That's... They make like Hugh Grant look like fucking Kenneth Branagh. Like that's the kind of, that's what he purveys.
My favourite moment of Craig Gilroying during this is where he says the word penultimate, then explains what it means like it's a complicated word.
And Dave Shanahan then just kind of gives him a look and goes, I know that means second to last. Like,
but having seen Dave Shanahan's performance through this video, I don't believe that he knew.
He's a competition winner. He's not an actual player, is he? I don't buy for a second he's an actual rugby player.
Well, this definitely wasn't the competition that he won.
<'Cause Yeah. shit. laughs> So the first one that they go through is the competition to put on 8 jerseys as fast as possible, starting with the medium jerseys and building up to probably extra larges. Thankfully, they get a scrum half and a fly half to do this, because otherwise it would be problematic. There's also a point where Craig Gilroy says, "Oh, you look like Joey from Friends." And it's like, yeah, of course somebody was going to make that joke at some stage.
And then the video editor's gone, it's like, put a little PNG in the bottom corner.
And just in case somebody hasn't seen Friends.
But he doesn't. They don't ever do any other sort of editing for the whole video.
But they've just got to set it for any other reference to Friends. Like, if he'd said pivot at any point, they would have just... They said, referred to Bill Johnson's position as such. The thing would have popped up.
Yeah.
I do like that they felt the need to explain a Friends joke. Like, it was the one thing that everybody knows.
Hey, Aaron Smith still hasn't got to it yet. He's just got the Seinfeld.
He's slowly working his way through 90s sitcoms.
Do you think that additionally to the Joey from Friends comparison, that Dave Shanahan wasn't wearing pants because James Hook stole them?
Yes. I think that's how he struggled to get so many jerseys on.
Yeah, so yes. Bill Johnston was, of course, introduced as the 3-time dressing up winner at Ulster Rugby.
Yeah, you know, like, tank.
If there's anyone at Ulster who knows his Barbies, then it's Bill Johnston, who then continued his record to become the 4-time winner of the dressing up competition.
I'll tell you what, though, it gets tense towards the end. Like, he's doing well, then he knocks all the jerseys off the table.
Oh, of course, yeah. He still wins despite the 2 split.
What's going to happen? I know.
Doesn't reflect well on David, does it?
And Craig Gilroy specifies he can't help him out for COVID reasons.
Yeah, that's my favourite part of the video, is the how keen they are to sort of stress that this is COVID safe.
Yeah.
As though, like, when they introduce them in the club shop, they have a little shot of them like, putting sanitizer on their hand.
Yes!
As though if that wasn't there, like, anyone watching would be under the assumption they're just going around the shop coughing on products for people to buy.
I love that, okay. Because like you get like a close-up shot of Craig Gilroy sat down, and then they cut the camera away to a general bird's eye view of the shop floor, and then they go back to Craig Gilroy about a second later, who suddenly has a bottle of hand sanitizer. And the thing is, it's not like he just happens to put it on, that he puts it on while they're speaking. So the director has said to him, okay, Craig, if you don't mind, start speaking, and while you do it, you know, multitask and put the hand sanitizer on, just so everybody knows that we're COVID safe.
Well, it's a new policy for Ulster, actually, because they used to, in that club shop, pre-COVID, actively promote things by saying that Ruan Pienaar sneezed on them once.
Whereas I just now, thought, knowing that he was a 3-time champion, I was coming into this and I thought, I've missed 3 episodes of this already.
I know, yeah. We've got content sorted for next year.
Yeah, like Fairweather fan just dropping in now.
I felt the same when I saw the madness of King George II. I didn't know the first king had gone mad.
That said, though, Grav, like when somebody says, like, England, this is their 11th Six Nations they've won, you don't think, oh, I've got to go back and watch the rest, I suppose.
No, I do.
So it works on a similar.
Not with England, I don't know, but I'm making my mission with other teams.
To be fair, this is technically a podcast looking back over all of the World Cup, yeah. So it's a pretty bad example.
I did, like someone said earlier, this is from 10 years ago. And I was like, last week I was listening to talk about 1987.
So after the initial challenge on putting shirts on, they move on to the next key Christmas task, which is wrapping presents, of course. Now, I wrapped my presents this afternoon, as it would happen. I've got a new tradition of watching every year, as I wrap my presents, watching a Vanessa Hudgens Netflix Christmas movie, because I seem to make at least one every year, if not 6. And I would watch one of those.
In my head, I heard Vanessa Phelps then for a second.
You see her and that guy from Fats and Small that she's married to, just walking on Christmas Day.
I don't know why. I just heard Vanessa Phelps. I thought, she's not making movies.
She could. Netflix would commission anything. So
it's true.
You know, get a move on. They're up to 3 Princess Switch movies now, you know?
And one Ben James stand-up special.
Yes.
Paul Williams had a sitcom on this one.
It's rugby sitcom.
He was asking on Twitter the other day, actually, if anyone knows anyone on Netflix. Gotta admire that. Out on Twitter going, fuck it, I'll just see if I can get Netflix.
my girlfriend's a Geordie and she'd say, Shy Bane's getting out. Like, you don't ask, you don't get. it's worth a shot. The worst they can do is ignore him.
I guarantee he gets like a meeting. Oh,
the whole script is just punch emojis.
Yeah.
The script, though, is beautifully spaced.
Yes. Yeah.
The format of it is absolutely top. I quite like to see Paul Williams' sitcom, if I'm honest.
I'm sure it would be beautifully planned out.
Yeah. And like I said, formatted to perfection. I mean, if a man can do that with a tweet, imagine what he can do with a 100%
absolutely script. High level of creative writing.
It's only a matter of time for BBC Wales commissioner.
Yeah. So, Robbie, you're in the middle of a story.
Okay, no. So, yeah, I wrapped my present today. And I'll tell you what, I wish I'd done it after seeing Bill Johnson's masterclass in wrapping presents, doing corners well.
Yeah.
Because that man can wrap a corner.
Let me tell you now. So, now I'm very self-conscious when it comes to wrapping presents because I think it was about 5 years ago. On Christmas Eve, I came home hammered and did wrap my presents then. And since then, it's just gone downhill. Like, that is the best I've wrapped presents in the last sort of 5 or 6 years. And that was really bad. That was really bad at that time. And so, Robbie, I'm going to tell you now, I've wrapped your present and it's dreadful.
I've got a present.
Yes.
Oh, man. I haven't got anything for you. Sorry, this is really embarrassing. Yeah.
Well, it's odd number
Pro 14,
years. But... you've got a chainsaw.
Just what I always wanted. Thank you. Finally,
I've wrapped it in pants and socks, but no wrapping paper.
I've got an issue with his wrapping technique, though. Mm. I think it looks good from the outside, but his first bit of sellotape, he always sticks on a really vital part of the... Well, that's going to leave a mark. That's going to really...
Yeah, that bugged me.
Mm.
Yeah, he stuck it right on the face of the clock.
Because if there's one thing that people are doing with boxes that hold Ulster brand shower gel... Is they're keeping them. Who's buying Ulster brand toiletries?
I don't know, but I can tell you where you can buy them. It's
ulsterrugbyshop.com.
They should genuinely be compelled to put a helpline on the website. People who are buying Ulster brand toiletries.
Gilroy's that are being held at gunpoint, being forced to present this coverage.
So when you click add it in the basket, just a pop up comes, are you sure? Like, is everything okay?
Do you think they add on like, this will have you smelling freshly of Louis Ludic or something like that?
Also, that teddy bear, I mean, there's the other item they have to wrap. I mean, I can see someone buying a Ulster Rugby branded teddy bear for their kid. I can't see any kid ever being grown up and going, oh, my beloved childhood soft toy, my Ulster Rugby teddy bear.
Sure.
Looking I definitely back at it, like Toy Story nostalgia.
You're right. I can see people buying it. I can't see people buying it because of this video.
No. Why did I buy it? Because I once saw Dave Shanahan wrap it badly.
Yeah, exactly. There's something about this, though. I think it's not very well set up, because the objective is that you win it if you wrap it faster, isn't it? You know, it's like the fastest wins. And then Bill Johnson spends the whole time going, you know what, I'm going to try and do this really delicately. And he's quite pretentious in the way he wraps the presents, to be honest. And then he still doesn't come out on top, because the Craig Gilroy reviews them and decides that Shanahan's are still better. So,
bullshit.
I'm not going to lie, right? Craig Gilroy is basically European rugby, then. He's just making the rules.
I was going to say, typical Pro 14 refereeing.
One minute, the first two, he's there like, well, it's not great rapping, but it was quick. And the last one, he's there like, that's good rapping, but it was slow. And he just, clearly he's had a word in his ear.
One or the other.
He's got to, you know, manufacture a result. So it goes to the big tiebreaker in the club shop. And that for me, that's where the video lost all credibility.
And the competition itself, I think.
Yeah.
I quite like the supermarket sweep they did at the end. And that was quite fun.
Yeah, that's the best one. That's the most watchable and entertaining. Yeah.
Do I need help?
Well, I've got a helpline for you. You can order some products on the Ulster Rugby website.
My favourite one's the first one with the shirts, only because it supports my theory that rugby players are just adult children perpetually at the sports day, because that's very much that's the vibe that you get. The kind of thing you do. How many t-shirts can you put on that quickly? It buys into the third one is just Dave Shannon shambling around. It's a bit like It's like Dawn of the Dead, like the original, just wandering around the shop. He doesn't really know what he's doing. He just knows he's got to be there.
Watching Bill Johnson do it and run around is quite entertaining because he's got a sense of purpose to him.
Yeah, you know, yeah. There's some real urgency to Bill Johnston there.
It's like he's in a Christopher Nolan movie.
He buys all this stuff from there. Just know that. His house is just wall to wall Ulster merchandise that he's just.
He's prepared by replicating the club shop in his living room. He's got like a floor plan ready. The night before.
That's what if they got Johnny Wilkinson on for this, he would have been in the first person in the club shop the moment it opens, the last one out when it closes, in every morning, practicing over and over again, picking up that dressing gown with the Ulster Rugby logo on it the time.
Like going into his bathroom, opening it up, and it's just wall to wall shower gel with Ulster on it, just next to his wash bag on the side.
And then a message sprawled in blood.
I also enjoyed Craig Gilroy saying, like, oh yeah, can you grab the Ulster Rugby 2019-20 European jersey for me, please? Yeah, you know, and Wes like that. Can you grab me the official Ulster Rugby chainsaw? You know, can you grab me the foam finger that's new in stock? You know, I enjoyed that he was very specific on all of those details.
It's almost like he'd been told.
Yes.
My other favourite thing is during the, well, Dave Shanahan is shambolically wrapping presents, Craig Gilroy says Trudy would be ashamed of you. And Dave Shanahan's just mentioned his mum. And yet, Craig Gilroy then says, Trudy would be ashamed of you. Dave Shanahan says, Trudy's my cat's name. Right? At which point, Craig Gilroy goes, oh yeah, Nadine would be ashamed of you, and so would Trudy. Nadine clearly being their mother, right?
Yes.
Then, when going around the club shop, one of the items they're asked to pick up is a dog jacket with an Ulster Rugby logo on it, because I don't know about you, but my canine is crazy for some Gilroy. Just really loves going to Ravenhill on a Friday night. Finds there's no atmosphere like it.
Real fan of Robbie Diak is my dog.
Yeah. Really, really cannot get enough of...
He often says, woof, woof, Nick Timoney is really underrated and should make the Ireland team, woof, woof.
My dog just barks in time with Stand Up for the Ulstermen every single morning and it wakes me up. But he then says, my dog Toby could wear this, right? So Dave Shanahan has both a cat and a dog.
It's pretty
good.
That
man is a complete mess.
That man is a scrum half. He likes chaos in his life.
That's very true.
Why would you give them very similar names?
Toby and Trudy.
It's a bit too close. And you'd want a little bit of a gap so that when you shout at one of them being a dick is because they're pets. Like, you don't want it to be a very similar name.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Really, good they point. Should have named, they should have swapped his mum and his cat's name so that they're more or less different.
His grandparents really should have thought this through.
It's quite selfish, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Hogging the name the Dean.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Really. I wouldn't rule out there's just one pet, and it's just Craig Gilroy having an existential crisis trying to name it. Toby, no, Trudy, no, Tyrone,
Tony.
I'm just amazed that Dave Shanahan has a dog, a cat, and a mum. You know,
Tony's remarkable. Pet tiger.
I've only got one of those things. And have we got anything else to say about Ulster? I mean, there's no chainsaw in the shop for them to pick up, which is a shame because what are we going to get for Christmas?
There's a point where Dave Shanahan struggles to get a ball from top of a shelf. Yeah. So Bill Johnston wins it on height advantage.
It's classic short man humour.
Yeah, it really is.
The problem isn't that he's short, because he can quite clearly jump and knock it down, because he does. The problem is that he sticks with his system that doesn't work, of trying to use something else to knock it off the thing he can reach.
Use a flimsy European jersey to knock it down.
He can knock it down rather than a hand, which is notoriously good for grabbing things. But I would say of all the things that a hand is good for, generally picking things up is top of the list.
Notoriously
good?
Yeah, I would say. Are your hands not notoriously good for picking things up?
I don't think they're notoriously good. I think they're good. Notoriously good suggests like a seedy underbelly to what my hands are grabbing.
Okay,
which I refute on this podcast.
I think if I went on Family Fortunes and they said name things you can do with your hands, I would say grab things. I think that would be my first answer.
I've got in front of me right now a pen, right? And in order to pick it up, I can either use my hand or this 2020-2021 Ulster European rugby jersey, right? Which one do you think I should try and use?
It depends. Does your hand have a massive foam finger on it? Because that's going to impede your ability.
Because I would say, if we had a unanimous answer, that would be a notorious answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That's my theory.
You've been foxed out here, Grav.
Well, no, I'm saying it is notoriously good at picking things up by hand.
Oh, but yeah. No, sorry. Yeah, Ben.
I'm not claiming that hands are bad for grabbing
things. I don't know, mate.
My issue is
what the person who thinks hands are bad at grabbing things would say.
With being notoriously good. Right, you know, it's like, they call notorious BIG likable BIG. You know, there's.
I wouldn't say my hands are likable for picking things up.
Yeah, well.
If anyone's listened this far, use the hashtag BenJamesHatesHands.
I'm not very good with the words. I couldn't think of a better word than likable. Renowned. Renowned is what I was going for. I do hate hands.
Do you think he just saw the logo on the Ulster jersey and got confused and thought it was his hand?
Maybe. That's a good point. So that's what it looked like, you know, last time I met Dean Ryan.
It's just, like, he spent ages last time they played Zebra just trying to pet the jersey.
I don't know if you know this. This video was filmed in a COVID-safe environment.
What? Really? Hands-based, you know?
So I think he used the jersey as guidance, as Mark Drakeford would say, to get the ball down. Guidance. That's satire. End
with them stood 6 meters apart, all wearing masks, which is such a almost like a flex of the fact they're COVID safe.
This is the fact they weren't doing daily testing just to get into the training game every day, enough.
Can we move on to the final video now?
Yeah, we very much saved the worst for last.
My only final thing is, where the fuck did they get a foam hand from? Because I haven't seen those since Gladiators, and that hasn't been on since I was like your lot's age. Like, that hasn't been on since my 18th birthday when I wasn't in the Philly.
Yeah, it's Ireland, isn't it? It's Gladiators.
I'm just very glad the Welsh only want to fight each other. They don't want to reach outside and fight anyone else. None of that going on here. So,
although hands are notoriously good for punching.
See, now you've used the word notoriously correct. What did I say? Hands are helpfully good for punching.
I would say they're the only things that can punch.
My lawyer's instructed me not to answer that question.
Is your lawyer Sebastian Vamahina?
No, he's that New York one who wanted to help the Springboks.
Ah, hence the shirt.
Well, you know, got to be on brand, don't you?
Speaking of brand, the last one is...
Oh, nice.
Sorry. Naughty.
I was just admiring that Craig Gilroy-esque segue.
He's a better YouTuber than me, what can I say?
We're still not going to disagree with you.
Did a really... No. I genuinely didn't mean to buy it. I wasn't inviting anyone to buy it on it. It's just true. Munster Rugby did a Christmas wrapping challenge.
He's a better
bloke
as well.
Also true. Also very true. He walked away with no Pro 14 balls because he didn't need them and he wasn't there. So
yeah, but Luke Marshall had a car full of so sure they got spread around Belfast. So anyway, Munster
also did a Christmas wrapping challenge the year before.
What's everyone's favourite thing about Craig Gilroy?
Probably that hat trick he scored against Italy.
Yeah, and his last cap.
Yeah. I think that he's not. It's that he's not Robbie.
You know what? Yeah. What's everyone's least favourite thing about Robbie?
How long have you got?
I mean, I can tell some embarrassing stories, man.
I still remember that tweet Razzie did about you. He said, you know, intelligent guy, bit of a Craig Gilroy wannabe. Which is the most inflammatory thing Razzie's tweeted.
Yeah. You know,
it was the hour-long video about it that they really did me. Uploaded to Vimeo.
It would have been a different video if Craig Gilmore had done that. If Craig Gilmore had done that video, the Lions tour would have been saved.
Where was Craig Gilroy this entire Lions tour? Join me for a 6-part investigation.
Do you want to actually crack on with the Munster thing?
I mean, we can.
None of us will interrupt this time.
I'm not going to lie. It's not very good. Is it?
I like it for its conciseness.
Yeah.
That's true. It is under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So the shortest of the videos.
No attempt at context. Just round one. No,
without the round two, am I right? Am I right saying that?
Yeah, no round two.
It was all round one.
Which is the best way to form a quiz. As we mentioned earlier, when you mentioned we started the quiz, that was round one, which is still going on. Very obtuse callback there. So the idea is...
Remember when none of us had cancer?
Almost like it's still going on. Calvin Nash, Kevin O'Byrne, and Gavin Coombs are trying to wrap some presents, and they're all terrible at it.
Yeah, they are.
Coombs,
really, really pulled out the big guns as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Calvin Nash.
Rock Nation are watching this.
I'm just picturing DJ Khaled saying, "Yo, Calvin, you did really good on that Christmas rapping challenge. I want you to join our team, man." DJ Khaled! And
do you think, Rock Nation thought it was a different kind of rapping?
Don't laugh.
Don't belittle me with your laughs.
If Craig Gilroy had delivered that, I think he would have found the levity in the situation.
There was a point where Bill Johnston said, "My father was actually a really good rapper," and I did have to kind of stop and think, like, "Oh yeah, it's your dad, J. Cole, or something like that." But no, alas,
I don't know who J. Cole is. I'm 36 years old. I'm lucky I'm still going to clubs.
Is your dad the Sugar Hill Gang? So, Munster.
One thing I did notice, Kevin O'Byrne, really good at folding shirts. That man can fold a shirt very concisely and very neatly.
You're right, actually. He does it with one hand. Another thing hands are notoriously good for.
That's the one part of the whole video where they actually show any sort of competency. They can all fold, like, you know, Coombsy, as I call him. He's pretty good when it comes to folding shirts. I feel like he's got a lot of ambition. Gavin Coombs.
Yeah.
I feel like he's trying.
Yeah, yeah.
What I like about Gavin Coombs is, as he moves between presents, we see a different side of Gavin Coombs. Like the first one, he very much approaches like Ray Winston doing a betting advert, where it's like, "Bosh, bye," rips the fucking paper, "Bosh," in, wrap. And then with the next one, he's really calm and gentle, and he folds all the edges up, like the silky hand he might show on a rugby. Like, it was every side of Gavin Coombs with a different present. It was fantastic. Like, it was like Split with the Scottish actor.
Yes, James McAvoy. Yeah.
Like every present was a different Andrew Coombs that we saw, or Gavin Coombs that we saw. It was great. Really enjoyed it.
Also, like a shit gymnast, he thinks ribbon solves everything.
But these are the best presented. Like, that is unarguable.
Craig Gilroy wrote that joke.
That was very quick, Ben.
He's a good lad.
I also particularly enjoy Kevin O'Byrne closing off Gavin Coombs' space and trying to bump him off the table. I think there's a good bit of shithousery in that he was trying to obstruct his opponent. It's good, a nice bit of a competitive nature in there. Clearly not COVID safe, not that COVID was a thing when this was filmed in like 2018, but...
And he messes with Calvin Nass's shirt before they start.
Oh,
he's
really?
Nicely folded, and he just sort of pushes it to one side.
Oh, yes, no, yeah, I did cop that, yeah.
Yeah.
Good shithousing, I like it.
And then he wins. Then he's declared the winner.
By Judge
Sarkin. It all comes out.
With respect, but only because he's wrapped the ball like it's a fucking toffee sweet.
That's true. The style points on there.
And because Calvin Nash doesn't understand sizes at all, so he rips off a bit of wrapping paper that isn't enough to fold around the thing that he's trying to wrap. So he just basically places it on top and just goes, that's wrapped in it. So bizarre. Like, this clearly that present is bigger than what you've just got off.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm hundreds of miles away from Munster, and I can see that is not enough paper, my friend.
Gavin Coombs is a lovely thing with when they're wrapping the ball as well, of putting it between his legs so he can cut the paper off.
Yeah, that's good technique, that is. I respected that.
I don't know why we're analysing this now.
Well, I thought it was. I thought it should be penalised. That was a squeeze ball. It should be penalised for that.
My 63 best moments of Munster players wrapping presents will be out very soon. Craig Gill always will as well, and it will be better.
Just such a great guy.
So in walks Judge Stephen Larkham, who is just billed as Judge Larkham, like he's Judge Dredd or something, which is an image I enjoy.
I think that the media guy just forgot his first name. Fuck. It's Greg.
Stephen Larkham.
He looks like a Greg. I will put Judge.
Stephen Larkham these days, and possibly before, I don't know, has Dementor's kiss happened 6 years ago energy? Like, has the energy of someone who has nothing left to live for?
He's doing this during
the Autumn Nations Cup, where he just seemed miserable on no matter what was going on around him. And then this, he looks so sad to be judging Christmas presents for Munster players. Like, he has a real look of just being upset about it. Like, not like he's wasting his time, just like this has made him sad. And I felt sorry for him looking at them.
I think he's just taken on this role with the air of seriousness he deserves. This is a very serious thing to judge. He's come into this. Don't come in and be a judge if you can't take it seriously. He's come in. He's got a job to do, and he's going to do it properly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I concur.
Okay.
Judge Larkham is notoriously serious when it comes to judging rapping competitions.
But he also gets it over and done with very quickly. He kind of walks over, looks at one of them for each, walks around the table and says, yeah, guess Kevin O'Byrne's the winner, and then walks off.
I think we've got to remember, not everyone's got the on-screen sort of charisma and ability of Craig Gilmore. So you can't force that. Gilroy could have bloody riffed for about 40 minutes judging it.
Selling the website.
Yeah.
Where
are you from? Kent. What did you call me? Yeah, a bit like that,
He picks out Kevin O'Byrne as the winner. But additionally, Kevin O'Byrne's first present was the only one he pointed out as being badly wrapped. He said, a kid could look through and see that that's what that is.
I love that line.
He didn't wrap it.
There's genuine concern. It's like, a kid could see that. like it's an exposed electrical wire. Like, fuck.
But to be fair, that was before he got the Calvin Dash. We just put a lid on something. Just a paper lid that he didn't need.
Calvin's had a breakdown. The poor lad's had a breakdown. And I say that in official capacity. Hello.
Is that everything on the Munster video?
That's only 2 minutes long.
All we've got to do left is each pick a man of the match and a dick of the day, because we do that on these because it's fun, it's novelty, it's definitely not. Everybody's really bored by this point.
Did you see that Tommy Bowe thing that came out today with Brian?
Yes, with Brian Driscoll. Yes,
that'll be on next year's podcast, guys.
I was going to say, I was genuinely tempted this morning to see if we could swap something out of this one and add that in instead. But yeah, I might have to say that.
I've not seen this yet. Has Brian Driscoll got 10 siblings?
Yes. He basically came.
He says
show,
in the video that he has 10 siblings.
Still the best. That's only 63, was it? That's the greatest.
Yeah.
That is the one there. That is the greatest thing that's happened in the past 100 years of rugby.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's up there. I think it's sort of when we come to write the history of rugby, it sort of goes, William Webb Ellis didn't pick up a ball and run with it, but whatever. We go to 1981 and the first international. 1881, sorry, in the first international.
1981.
We go to 1987.
1981 was the first international with Eddie Butler. Which in many ways was better.
I don't need to finish this now, that's fine.
We just go first international.
Hey, Craig
first international, Aguardo being... was born. And then, and then so Tommy Bowden.
Craig Gilroy was born, of course, has to be
on the Lord and Savior.
Had it been Craig Gilroy on our show, and I think about this often, he would have dealt with it in a more sensitive manner when he found out the children had all died in the fire. I think he'd have really elicited emotion in that situation from the one remaining victim of the fire. He'd have really got some lovely sort of heartfelt stuff out of it. Because that's what Creed Gilroy does.
It's just
what he bloody does.
With all of that in mind, I'm going to give my man of the match vote to Craig Gilroy for being such a handsome, charismatic presenter. It was just clearly a natural, and he tried his best with the whole club website thing and can't ask for anything more.
I'm going to give my dick of the day to Craig Gilroy because I'd like a career.
Wow.
And if I can just bring his burning and crashing down before it kicks off, I am a deeply, deeply bitter person around Christmas and Ulster wingers. Those are my two real weaknesses, and I've got them both together right now.
Okay, Grav, you got man of the match?
My man of the match is James Hook, only because Rob Brydon can only spread himself so far. He's doing quite a lot on telly at the moment.
No, trust me, he can keep spreading himself.
I think James Hook is a natural successor to Rob Brydon, having watched this video. Yeah.
And he can write, we know that.
Yeah. And he doesn't sort of insert impressions into every conversation.
I bet James Hook does a fantastic Ronnie Corbett, if you ask him.
Oh, I reckon he would.
Hey, I've
got to do it, man.
I saw James Hook playing some big games where he performed like a little man trapped in the box.
That's why he is most famous troll. I almost used the word notorious again then, and I was going to get into an argument of semantics with Ben on it. I can't do it again. I can't.
That would be the correct use of the word.
Ben, have you got a man of the match?
Man of the match would have to be, I think, for services to Aaron Smith. It's going to be a very talented actress who's not afraid to be ugly for comedy. Mm. She's a wonderful physical comedian, and that's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
That's a good shout.
Who is in some way related to the owner of Sunderland Football Club, I found out the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he's called Louis-Dreyfus, his surname. I was like, that's strange.
Oh.
But it turns out they're related, so it's not strange. It's just family.
It's genealogy.
It's just the way the world works sometimes.
So, Robbie, you've done your dick of the day.
Yeah.
Who's your man of the match?
So, speaking of family, my man of the match could only ever be one contender.
Oh, thanks, man.
This is going to be a classic squidge rug ball.
It's the real standout family member, and Christmas is all about family. So it is, of course, Toby Shanahan, the dog of Dave Shanahan, because I admire the patience of putting up with Dave Shanahan on a daily basis, but also a cat and a mum at the same time.
Trudy, massively overlooked.
Yeah.
Named after Sting's wife, I assume.
Toby was named after the jug.
My dick of the day, just to balance out Craig Gilroy being man of the match and just to assert some dominance, my dick of the day is Robbie Owen, famous for, I don't know, you guys might or might not be aware, he does a YouTube thing called Squidge Rugby. It's not as good as Craig Gilroy, but I just want the opportunity to call that guy a dick.
It sounds bad.
You and James Hook both.
Dick of the days, fellas.
Go, Grab, you go first.
It's Dave Shamblahan. Just everything he touched was a
That's ritual. Not his name.
I thought of that about 20 seconds ago, and I've repeated it in my head going, don't mess this up, don't mess this up. But yeah, everything he touched turned to shit. It was incredible. It's a performance I've not seen since Welsh rugby coaches taking on national jobs. It was absolutely horrific performance.
Fair enough. Ben?
Cilla Black. You put Oxo on Orange, you're going to go to hell. That's referencing a tweet, by the way. I'm not genuinely wishing that the already passed away Cilla Black goes to hell.
I can just imagine Kevin listing a late transfer request to bring her downstairs.
Don't clip that up, guys.
Like, just like the fact that she like turned up at the pearly gates in St. Peter's there, and he's going through a record, and he's like, "Oh, they did some songs with the Beatles. Yeah, that's pretty good."
In the video, helped
a lot of people's lives on Surprise. What's this with the fucking? You did what with an orange? Sorry, love, you're not coming in.
Yeah. She genuinely like would go to confession. and can like confess about it, and they'd be like, "Oh, four Bloody Marys," which
to drink while you're weak.
After all the fucking oranges she's had, no,
four Bloody Marys while she's in the queue waiting for Scarby to come out and commit.
Wow, that was a ride. That was. I think that's wound up being one of our longest episodes, which is good. I think that's exactly what we were hoping for.
I think there's
a correlation here.
It's really an occasion of equal weight and importance to our audience as the Sam Warburton red card or the World Cup final from 2011. Munster's Christmas wrapping challenge really will live as long in the memory.
Yeah, you'd hope so. You'd hope so. Well, Merry Christmas.
I will admit, I've got a real admiration because I watched these three videos today and I thought, how are you going to get hours worth of content out of this? And then we're having to cut it short.
We picked our guests carefully, I'll have you know.
It's almost as long as Alberto Scarby's prison sentence is going to be. So I want to say thank you very much to Mr. Will Owen for doing the podcast. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. And thank you, Grav. Merry Christmas to one and all.
Merry Christmas.
May you have at least one good tiding, probably like 9 or 12. And I hope there are many, many happy returns and also enters, you know, just whichever you prefer to use on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And a happy new year. Boxing Day, I hope, is pretty good. Not the film that came out a few weeks ago.
I hope everyone enjoys the 29th.
That's a good day. Yeah. The film called Boxing Day came out a few weeks ago, like British rom-com thing. There are no scenes set on Boxing Day in it, but it's called Boxing Day, so it will play on Channel 4 every single Boxing Day for the rest of the time.
That's smart.
So I think it's a good little swizz there, I think.
Yeah, that's smart.
Really smartly named film.
That's the sort of clever idea that only the likes of Craig Gilroy could come up with.
Yeah. I think so.
I hear he's starting a podcast.
Is he?
Yeah.
He didn't put a like Twitter poll up like James.
The rugby tournament that happens every 4 years, look back upon.
Okay, yes. That sounds like quite a good concept.
He was really wanting the World League to come in so that he could start a podcast looking back at that.
Well, because he's Irish, he only goes to the quarterfinals.
put that
in your Christmas crackers, Welsh rugby.
I think that's a very good note to close on.
Yes, I think so. Thank you both for putting up with this. I hope all three of you have a very, very wonderful and happy Christmas. And I hope everyone listening, thank you for doing so. Thank you for getting through it. I hope you're having a wonderful Christmas time and a very merry festive period and a very new year. I still do not have cancer. Thank you very much. Good night.
Merry Christmas. I don't want to fight
you. Merry Christmas. Craig. So we're going to cut all that Cilla Black stuff, right?
Really hot, Rod.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.